emotional, for sure. I mean, listening to somebody's voice in your living room is really an intimate experience, and it's all you're paying attention to. You're just getting the voice. Video, you got like mixed media happening in your face. Mm-hmm. So, looks like on that note, we're gonna have to bring you our last number, which is our fade out number, which is the same number that we use to start the show. Any last words, DJ Happy Tear Wipe?
No, I'm ready to chill.
We are all ready to chill. Amen. Have a wonderful day. We are so happy to be with you.
Yeah, signing off.
Thank you.
DJ Happy Tear Wipe.
And DJ Beef Taco.
What's up? This is Tajay of the Mighty Souls of Mischief crew. I'm chilling with my man Festo, my man A Plus, and my man Bo. You know he's dope. And right now, you know, we're just maxing in the studio. We're hailing from East Oakland, California, and sometimes it gets a little hectic out there. But right now, you know, we gonna up you on how we just chill.
Dial up 7 digits, call up Bridget, her man's a midget. Plus she got friends, yo, I can dig it. Here's a 40 swigging, you know it's frigid. I got him chilling in the cooler, break out the ruler. Damn! That's the fattest dog I ever seen. The weather's heat in Cali getting weeded, makes it feel like Maui. Now we feel the good vibrations. So many females, so much inspiration.
I get inspired by the blunts too. I'll front you, if you hang with the bunk crew. I roam the strip for bones to pick. When I find one, I'm gun. Take her home and quickly do this. Yeah. I need not explain this. Nah. It must be famous, so get the anus.
Hey, miss, who's there? I'm through there, no time to do hair. The flicks it ain't, so get straight. You look great, let's grub now. Oh, rub down some flavor later. There's the theater. We in the gut, the cinema was mediocre. Take it to the crib so I can stroke him.
Kids get broke for their skins when I'm in. Close range, I throws game at your dip like handball. Cause the man's all that, all that. I lead a chill from 93 till.
Yeah, this is how we chill from 93 till.
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 WMFO Medford. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Voicemobile. Thanks, ladies, for the fun tunes. And remind me your names again.
Haley.
Haley and?
Mary.
Mary?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very fun. Somebody kill the radio. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. We can't have that. All right, well, we say see you on the radio and don't be late. Right? It's very wet out there, as you probably know. So you need either web feet or quacks or something like that. Anyhow, I'm going to start us off with something that I hadn't heard for a long time, and on my recent trip to visit my mom, I put it in my pack of things to play, and I think you'll know exactly what it is when you hear it. Bye-bye. Except, once again, we have to get the board reset because it's set for something different than what I want. Let's see. Let's do. Okay, so here we go.
Plasticine pauses with looking glass ties.
Well, I just had so much fun. I wanted to share some of that with you. We'll probably hear a little bit more of it because just all of a piece when this CD came out, we listened to it and listened to it and listened to it, and we couldn't believe how many layers of sound. It was so much fun. So I just want to let you know about an event that's happening. It's actually happening at different times in different communities. I know up in Medford, Open Studios, I think it's the 28th and 29th. Somerville is having Open Studios Friday, May 4th through Sunday, May 6th. You can visit Somerville's diverse and vibrant arts community at the annual Somerville Open Studios Saturday, May 5th and Sunday, May 6th from noon to 6 p.m. with a special sneak preview at Select Studios Friday, May 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. You can immerse yourself in a city full of art with over 350 artists. Talk with artists in every kind of working space across every kind of visual media. Free trolleys will be looping throughout the city, taking you to the artist sites. Now that's cool. For more info, visit the Somerville Open Studios website at somervilleopenstudios.org. Public service message from Somerville Open Studios and all your local art-loving friends here at WMFO in Medford. So, if you've never gone to Open Studios, it's a great way to get a sense of who some of the artists, musicians, visual arts, you know, throughout the community. So it's really quite fun. So I have a couple things I want to share with you. Now, I think that we're going to get a call in from bassist bandleader Lello Molinari. He's going to be doing a special show coming up at the Regatta Bar May 1st. So we had scheduled this, but I emailed him and I didn't get a confirmation. So he may come on or he may not, but I'll be playing some of his work for us. So there's that. And let's see what else is going on. Of course, it's wet out there. You know that. I think I already shared that with you. All right, so this is something coming from Jonathan Sacks, who is he used to be the chief rabbi of Great Britain, and he's an amazing intellect and a great writer. He says, "I've been doing Thought for the Day for 30 years, but I never thought that in 2018 I would still have to speak about anti-Semitism." So this was broadcast on BBC Radio 4 this morning. That was on Friday, April 20th. And so this is the transcript of that broadcast. Says, "I was part of that generation born after the Holocaust who believed the nations of the world when they said, 'Never again.' But this week, there was an unprecedented debate about anti-Semitism in Parliament. Several MPs spoke emotionally about the abuse they received because they were Jews, or more scarily, because they'd fought anti-Semitism. According to the Community Security Trust, anti-Semitic incidents in Britain have risen to their highest level since record-keeping began in 1984, interesting year, at an average of 4 a day. This is not the Britain I know and love. In Paris a month ago, just before Passover, an 85-year-old Holocaust survivor was murdered because she was a Jew. The most harrowing in a whole series of such attacks in Europe in recent years. There is today almost no European country where Jews feel safe, and this within living memory of the Holocaust, in which 1.5 million children were murdered simply because their grandparents were Jews. It's happened because of the rise of political extremism on the right and left, and because of populist politics that plays on people's fears, seeking scapegoats to blame for social ills. For 1,000 years, Jews have been targeted as scapegoats because they were a minority and because they were different. But difference is what makes us human, and a society that has no room for difference has no room for humanity. The appearance of anti-Semitism is always an early sign of a dangerous dysfunction within a culture, because the hate that begins with Jews never ends with Jews. At the end of his life, Moses told the Israelites, "Don't hate an Egyptian because you were strangers in his land." It's an odd sentence. The Egyptians had oppressed and enslaved the Israelites. So why did Moses say, "Don't hate"? Because if the people continued to hate, Moses would have taken the Israelites out of Egypt, but failed to take Egypt out of the Israelites. They would still be slaves, not physically, but mentally. Moses knew that to be free, you have to let go of hate. Wherever there is hate, freedom dies. Which is why each of us, especially we leaders, have to take a stand against the corrosive power of hate. All it takes for evil to flourish is for good people to do nothing. Today, I see too many people doing nothing, and I am ashamed. Well, he puts it very well. There's a corollary to this, and I'll share that with you as soon as I can get my papers here in order. And this is local. This is something that's going on right here in Cambridge. Anti-Israel boycott movement dealt major setback in Cambridge, Mass. It's a quote here, "Your enemies will be clothed in disgrace. The tent of the wicked will vanish." It's from Job. The mayor of Cambridge, Mass. Announced last week that a proposed BDS resolution calling on the city to boycott a company doing business with Israel will not appear on the agenda of the next city council meeting, dealing a major setback for BDS advocates. The proposed resolution was put forward by MA Against HP, a coalition of pro-BDS groups that includes Jewish Voice for Peace, which called on Cambridge not to renew its participation in a program to receive Hewlett-Packard products at a discount and to terminate their relationship with HP. On its website, MA Against HP accuses the software company of helping Israel, quote, "maintain their occupation of Palestinian land," unquote, through its technology used by the Israeli government and military. The group had sought for the resolution to be considered at an April 23rd City Council meeting. Situated directly north of Boston, Cambridge is home to both Harvard University and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. In a statement late last Thursday, Cambridge Mayor Mark McGovern said that while the HP issue concerned him, he was also concerned about anti-Semitism within the BDS movement. "As I began to learn more about the issue, I looked more closely at the BDS movement. I became equally concerned about some of their stances and positions," he said. "As much as I don't want Cambridge to be indirectly supporting those who engage in human rights violations, I also don't want Cambridge associated with a movement that has made anti-Semitic comments." Jeremy Burton, Executive Director of Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Boston, whose group worked alongside the New England affiliates of the American Jewish Committee and Anti-Defamation League to meet with Cambridge City officials, praised the efforts by the Boston Jewish community to come together to combat the BDS movement. "The efforts of a broad range of our members, partners, and individuals in the Cambridge community, both within and beyond the Jewish community, are making a difference. We and they are being heard, and several members of the Cambridge City Council are taking their concerns seriously." Lital Carmel, Boston Regional Director of the Israeli American Council, similarly praised the mobilization of the Boston Jewish community to act against the BDS resolution. "I think what we see in the Jewish community is really heartwarming," Carmel told JNS. "It is phenomenal that JCRC and other Boston Jewish community organizations are so well organized and in this together, from petitions and letters to city council members to a planned rally. Every organization knows what their role is and is communicating to their own constituencies about this. In my over 10 years working in the Jewish community in the United States," emphasized Carmel, "this is one of the better examples of how the Jewish community should come together and mobilize against efforts like this. According to JCRC, an effort is now underway to to put together an alternative resolution with the Cambridge City Council that affirms a commitment to the protection of human rights, but steers clear of bigoted attempts to single out Israel or any other country. Nevertheless, Burton added, but this is not over. We have to keep organizing and speaking up and working with those councillors who are willing to consider another course of action. Until that happens, we need to be ready every week to mobilize if this is on the agenda. Earlier this year, an anti-BDS bill that would have made it illegal for state agencies to do more than $10,000 worth of business with companies that discriminate on the basis of national origin failed to make it past a committee in the Massachusetts legislature. Some 25 states have passed similar anti-BDS legislation in recent years. Well, pretty interesting. We'll see. We'll have to follow what happens with this. But, you know, BDS, their charter, I mean, they're affiliated with groups that want the destruction of Israel as a state. So, you know, anything that they say, well, what can I tell you? It's just, it's revolting. Here's something from J.K. Rowling, Standing Up to Anti-Semitism by Dr. Yvette Alt-Miller. This is from H.com. And says, in the past few days, the author J.K. Rowling, along with dozens of other people in Britain, France, and Germany, have been saying enough is enough in the face of relentless anti-Semitism. Their words coming amid record-breaking levels of anti-Semitism are a welcome beacon of moral clarity. Ms. Rowling issued a series of tweets on April 18, 2018, Holocaust Remembrance Day, attacking anti-Semitism and assuring some of her Jewish Twitter followers that they weren't alone. Her comments came a day after a searing debate on anti-Semitism in Britain's House of Commons, in which Jewish MPs publicly described years of abuse and insults both members of the public and even from fellow political activists. Posting a screen grab of a person intoning that, quote, Judaism is a religion, not a race, as a way to excuse their anti-Jewish attitudes, Ms. Rowling noted that anti-Semites think this is a clever argument, before retorting, so tell us, do, were atheist Jews exempted from wearing the yellow star? When that tweet garnered its own anti-Jewish responses, Ms. Rowling called them out, rebutting anti-Semitic comments and explaining why they are offensive. To a Twitter follower who complained that rebutting anti-Semitism is culturally insensitive to Muslims, Ms. Rowling lamented people who only understand bigotry in terms of pick a team instead of having empathy and engaging in reasoned debate. When one of her Twitter followers complained that Arabs can't ever be called anti-Semites because Arabs are a Semitic people too, Ms. Rowling reacted with a verbal eye roll, attaching a GIF of the actor Hugh Laurie looking comically exasperated. The Arabs are Semitic too. Hot takes have arrived. Okay, Ms. Rowling tweeted, pointing out her interlocutor's bigotry. To the Twitter followers who continued to attack her for daring to oppose anti-Semitism, Ms. Rowling helpfully sent out a definition of anti-Semitism. Quote, a hostility or prejudice against Jews. Ms. Rowling then added a few messages of her own. Split hairs, debate etymology, gloss over the abuse of your fellow citizens by attacking another country's government. Would your response to any other form of racism or bigotry be to squirm, deflect, or justify, she asked. When a fan messaged Ms. Rowling saying her son had been bullied for being Jewish, Ms. Rowling replied, I'm so sorry to hear this. Know that you aren't alone, and that a lot of us stand with you. XX. She had a message for the wider public. Most UK Jews in my timeline are currently having to field this kind of anti-Jewish comment. Ms. Rowling forcefully explained, so perhaps some of us non-Jews should start shouldering the burden. This wasn't the first time that Ms. Rowling has stood up against anti-Semitism. In 2015, when over 1,000 British cultural figures penned open letters in a national newspaper excoriating Israel and pledging never to, quote, play music, accept awards, attend exhibitions, festivals or conferences, run masterclasses or workshops anywhere in the Jewish state, Ms. Rowling refused to sign on to these hateful letters demonizing the Jewish state. Instead, she joined 150 other British writers and artists pledging to resist pervasive calls to boycott Israel. Israelis will be right to ask why cultural boycotts are not also being proposed against North Korea and Zimbabwe, whose leaders are not generally considered paragons by the international community. Ms. Rowling and their fellow signatories wrote in their October 23, 2015 letter, cultural engagement builds bridges, nurtures freedom, and positive movement for change. France Manifesto, a few days after Ms. Rowling's recent Twitter exchanges attacking anti-Semitism, hundreds of French cultural and political figures wrote their own manifesto, denouncing the wave of extreme violence that has seen Jews murdered and attacked in France over the past several years. The letter appeared in French newspapers on Sunday, April 22, 2018. Over 300 French celebrities and politicians, including former President Nicolas Sarkozy and the actor Gérard Depardieu, noted, in our recent history, 11 Jews have been assassinated and some tortured by radical Islamists because they were Jewish. The signatories decried this horror and declared that a new anti-Semitism characterized by Islamist radicalization is sweeping France, endangering the country's 500,000 Jews. We demand that the fight against this democratic failure that is anti-Semitism becomes a national cause before it is too late, before France is no longer France. Their letter appealed for the French public to stand side by side with their nation's Jews. Well, there is more, but I'm going to leave that for now and go back to some music. Here we go, WMFO Medford. We are at the Tufts campus, and it's the Voice Mobile here with your host, Joyce the Voice.
It's getting better all the time. I used to get mad at my school.
I can't complain.
The teachers that taught me weren't cool.
I can't complain.
They're holding me down, turning me round, filling me up with your rules. I've got to admit, it's getting better.
Getting so much better all the time. It's I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering where it will go. I'm filling the cracks that ran through the door and kept my mind from wandering where it will go. And it really doesn't matter if I'm wrong, I'm right. Where I belong, I'm right. Where I belong. Sylvia standing there who disagree, never win. I wonder why they don't get in my door. I'm painting a room in a colorful way. And when my mind is wandering, there I will.
Okay, so my guest, Lello Molinari, is here with us, not in the studio, but online. Lello, are you there? Say hello.
Yes, I am. Hello, hello.
Okay, I want to get your volume up. Try the again. Hello? Lello?
Yes?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit better. Okay. Okay, so thank you for taking some time. I know you're teaching, and you.
Yes, I am.
You had a jump.
Berklee College of Music.
At Berklee.
Yeah, Berklee College of Music. Yep.
Okay, so you're gonna have to be talking right into your phone because the connection is not great.
Okay,
so I'm just trying to find what I did with your information of your event. I had it here, but it's disappeared. Ah, here we go. Okay, good. So you have a CD release concert coming up at the Regatta Bar. Hello? Okay, we're getting a little phone stuff going on. Lello, are you there? Oh, gosh, this is not good.
I'm here.
Okay, good. We're getting little phone sounds. So your CD release is going to be Tuesday?
This Tuesday, May 1st, at 7:30.
Okay.
It will be a one set, 7:30 to 9, and they will be at the Regatta Bar in the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square.
Okay, that sounds great. And this is... release of your volume 2, Lello's Italian Job.
Right, that's the name of the project, and we have done Volume 1, which was released in 2005. And 2015, sorry.
Yeah, you've got a lot of background stuff coming over the air, so I don't know if you can get to a place where there's less noise.
Yeah.
We'll manage. In any case, why don't we put some music on? So we'll play the first cut off of your new CD. And Lello's Italian Job, Volume 2. And the name of it is
O Saracito.
O Saracito. Here we go.
You there?
Okay, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Are you there? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, what?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I didn't have my headphones on. Okay. Are the same players that are on the CD the ones who are going to be at the Regatta Bar?
But wait, there's more. So yes, the basic quartet on the CD, it will be there. It's Dino Gavoni that on the album plays tenor saxophone, soprano saxophone. He plays clarinet. He plays flute on the track. He also plays iwi on one of the tracks and a couple of tracks. It's the electronic wind instrument.
Iwi. Okay, good. Yeah.
Then the guitar player is Sal De Fusco, and he plays acoustic guitar, electric guitar, and mandolin.
Uh-huh.
And the drummer is Marcello Pelliteri, and he plays drum set and all kinds of traditional Italian, southern Italian percussions.
Okay.
And I play electric bass and acoustic bass, and we have some stuff also going on with pedals and loops. And then, on top of the regular quartet, if that was not enough, we have two special guests. We have Marco Pignataro, another fantastic saxophone player originally from Italy. He's actually the co-director of the Global Jazz Institute here at Berkeley.
Uh-huh.
And then on piano, we're going to have Frank Kahlberg, that actually is Finnish from Finland.
Uh-huh.
And he teaches at the New England Conservatory, but he's an old compadre of mine. We have done projects together since the 80s when we were in school together.
Fantastic. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to come to the gig. It sounds like it's going to be absolutely fabulous. I have another...
It's supposed to be really, really fun. We're planning. The music is fantastic. The band sounds great. And it seems like we have a lot of friends coming over.
It's great.
And we'll be very excited.
So let's tell people again.
I'm sorry, we'll miss you.
Yeah, this is Tuesday, May 1st at the Regatta Bar, 7:30 to 9 o'clock. And it's going to be quite a great evening. So let's step back a little bit. And this this project is a combination of your early roots to things you've done more recently.
Yes. So I was born and raised in Italy,
uh-huh.
And I came to the United States, in particular in Boston, to study at Berkeley in the mid '80s. So I grew up in Italy, listening to Italian music, and particularly in Naples. Naples has a military base, American military base, since the Second World War. And so since then, there's been a lot of mingling between the servicemen and women based in Naples. So popular music in Naples was heavily influenced by American popular music in the 40s and in the 50s.
Okay,
R&B, we're talking jazz, we're talking blues. And so I grew up in this environment that musically is very diverse and interesting. I moved to Milan for a little bit and then applied to come to Berkeley to study jazz. In one of my CDs, which I recorded in 2002, I did three Italian tunes on that CD. We had a fantastic vocalist, Chiara Civello. She sang a couple of songs.
Chiara Civello? From here?
Yeah.
From Berkeley. She's fantastic. Ah.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah. So back then, she sang a couple of songs on that album.
Ah.
One is the Pino Daniele song, Quando.
Uh-huh.
And one was Mala Femmina, a very famous Neapolitan song by the slapstick actor Totò.
Mm-hmm.
And
Totò,
then
yeah.
The Tarantella. And that album, again, it was George Garzon on saxophone, Nico Dric on guitar, Jessica Lind on trombone, Bob Loy on drums, and myself on bass. There was a fantastic group, and we did these three Italian songs. And then in 2015, we recorded the first volume of this new project, Lello's Italian Band, Lello's Italian Job, where we, again, record Italian music that comes from traditional classic music like arias,
okay,
turn them into jazz tunes.
Uh-huh.
Or we do folk songs, and again turn them in some kind of arrangement with in a contemporary jazz, as well as popular songs. Pino Daniele is a famous Neapolitan singer songwriter. Was one of the first to do contemporary music with Neapolitan dialect, and we take his music and take it yet one step forward. And so we started in 2005, Recovery Volume 1. Then I received a residency record, faculty recording residency from Berklee College of Music, and we had a week in the studio to record Volume 2. So we went up to wonderful Camden, Maine, in a fantastic studio, the Hearst Studios, and we recorded this Volume 2. And this is a 12 track that we did. The CD has just been officially released, and on Tuesday, May 1st, we will do the live concert, which is going to be a lot of fun. And I encourage everybody to come over to the Regatta Bar in Harvard Square on Tuesday, May 1st.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be absolutely a great deal of fun. Let's listen to another cut off of the CD. Let's see. How about the next one, Jazz Tarantella?
So Jazz Tarantella is one of the most famous Italian songs that shows up in all the stereotypical cartoonish kind of functions.
Right.
But instead of playing how the way it's traditionally played, we do a version that was inspired by the Miles Davis take of Dear Old Stockholm on the album Round About Midnight. So we do it as a slow jazz walk.
Perfect. Let's have a listen. This is Lello from Lello's Italian Job Volume 2, Jazz Tarantella. Here we go on the voicemobile. Thank you. Well, that was a real delight, especially, I mean, the saxophone is just so sweet. Completely different. Completely different. Reimagined. I love it. You totally deconstructed it and lifted it out.
All 12 students have received a little bit of a special treatment, meaning they're all very, very different from the original source.
Yeah.
So they do have all in common the fact that they're Italian pieces, but then we give our own interpretation.
Yes, and well, that's what makes it so wonderful, because you bring your own experience and flavors to it, and it just lifts it from, you know, it's a reference point, really, just a reference point, yeah. And you just dance off from there. It's great. I love it. Yeah, you had have no idea from the title what you're going to get. It's terrific.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So you have this CD release party coming up Tuesday from 7:30 to 9 at the Regatta Bar. And you're going to have, you mentioned two other musicians who are going to be with you. What are their names again?
Yes, so Marco Pignataro is a extraordinaire saxophone player. He plays tenor and soprano saxes. And then there will be Frank Kahlberg, a fantastic pianist, composer, arranger. And then the regular four guys of the band, Dino Gavoni in saxes, Marcello Pellite on drums, Salvi Cusco on guitar, myself, Lella Molinari on bass, Tuesday, May 1st, 7:30 at the Regatta Bar.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be quite the hoot. Well, I hope you have a fabulous time, and I hope the next time you're in town I get to actually come and meet you. But,
thank you, absolutely. We'll send you invitations to our next gig, and I'm sorry you can't make this one.
Yes.
I look forward to meeting you on one of the next ones.
Absolutely. Have a great gig, and I think the CD is really exquisite from what I've heard, and I will be playing it.
Thank you.
So, my pleasure. Have a great day.
One more thing.
Yes, of course.
Sorry, do you mind if I say one more thing? So, I forgot to mention that buying a ticket to the gig will also get you a free copy of the CD.
There you go. Now that's a deal. That's a deal.
You come to the gig, you get to see the band for live, and you get a free copy of the CD also.
Uh-huh. So I just checked my phone, Lolo, and I had a new phone, and you did reach me, but I didn't recognize, and I didn't have time because I wasn't online to get it. So you did have the right...